Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Old and New Testaments and a reflection. Our readings today are taken from Genesis 15 and Matthew 26 verses 47 to 56. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz entitled, Who is in Control?
Well, thank you, Andy, for reading Genesis 15.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove and a young pigeon. He brought him all these things and cut them in two, laying each half against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. And then the Lord said to Abram, Know this for certain, that your offspring shall be aliens in a land that is not theirs, and shall be slaves there, and they shall be oppressed for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nation that they serve, and afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. As for yourself, you shall go back to your ancestors in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. And they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Gishonites, and the Jebusites.
Thank you so very much, Andy, and especially for that kind of last sentence with all those tribes of the times. It's easy to pronounce them all. So our New Testament is taken then from Matthew chapters 26, verse 47 to 56.
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, The one I kiss is the man, arrest him. At once he came up to Jesus and said, Greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus said to him, Friend, do what you are here to do. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will come at once and send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?" At this hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has happened so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled." Then all of the disciples deserted him and fled. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. The thought for both readings was who is in control? It's about circumstances and events taking place, and it looks like the person who is on the receiving end is losing control. And yet, yes, that's my kind of my thought. With Genesis, Abraham receives a vision from God, and God tells him not to be afraid, that he's his shield and that his reward will be very great. What I like in this passage is that there is real communication between Abraham and God. Abraham is not afraid to ask him then the question, well, if that's true, how is it going to be? You know, tell me, because I'm still without a proper child, no offspring. So is it going to be the son that is born from the slave wife that he had, not his first wife Sarah, but a concubine that he had? And God is very specific in his answer, saying that it is going to be his own child with Sarah, and takes him outside to look at the sky and the stars, and promise him that his descendants will be as numerous as the number of the stars. And here we have this little sentence that's taken later in the New Testament, that through believing the words of God, he was reckoned as a righteous person. And that's taken by Paul to say that it's by faith that we can stand right in the presence of God. And that idea is basically one of the way to hear that is he took God at his word. He recognized God's character, and he took him at his word. And it's that trust and that faith that made him righteous. Not that he was in himself a righteous person, but that recognizing that God is true and that his words are true and the promise that he makes will be accomplished, that was. And our faith is in what God did in Jesus. And that makes us righteous, not because we are righteous in our own sake, but because we take God's word as it is, God's promise that whoever turns in faith to Jesus, receive from him the grace, the forgiveness, will be called children of God. And that's what we're called, to take God's words at face value, and to trust that when God makes a promise and a declaration, it will take place. That's what we believe, that the declaration God just made will take place. Continues to a further development, and but again, for me, what strikes me is that there is real conversations, there is a real questions from Abraham and answer to from God. And I think how do we as a Christian allow our questions to be really expressed to God? God is not afraid of our questions and our desire sometimes to be affirmed if we feel a certain direction, or certain that God will affirm, that he will talk to us personally, certainly if there are major decisions that we need to make, or And then in the other ones, it's again, who is in charge? And it feels like Jesus is in the receiving end of great injustice. And yet he is the one who is perfectly in control. He knows who he is. He knows why this is happening to him. And even in the midst of, I think, what is the most difficult thing to face, which is betrayal. That's maybe the deepest hurt one can have. And we hear the sad reality of family breakdowns and marriage breakdowns and the reality of betrayal. And yet Jesus responds to his betrayal, his friend, do what you are here to do. He's fully aware that there is much more at work than just the betrayal. It's scripture itself that is being fulfilled in all these events. It doesn't justify the actions of the various character. It doesn't excuse them. But Jesus is fully aware that he is in the will of his Father and that he's accomplishing something much bigger. And that's the salvation that could have been even Judas' salvation. Everyone had access to grace, but not everyone takes the words of God at face value and receive that good news. So God is in charge despite the circumstances in Abraham's life here. In the reality of Jesus' final days, as he was accomplishing what scripture was pointing to, that the coming Messiah was not to come as a ruling king in the sense of a worldly king in a big palace, but as a servant king to give his life on behalf of us. So that we might live. Anything that strikes you in the first or second reading?
Well, just I suppose that Jesus, when he was talking to the people here who had come to arrest him, by saying that you could have arrested me before, it's kind of saying to us today that you have free will. We have free will today. He knows what's best for us. If we choose to ignore his message, then we basically take the consequences. But he is there. His promise, God's promise through Jesus, never changes, does it? For us, for the future generations to come. And it's that realization in, I suppose, everyone's life at some point. And there was a, I just read a quote by the American novelist Mark Twain. He said, "The two most important days of your life are first the day you were born, and secondly, the day that you realize why." And it's that day you realize why that changes your life when you accept that God loves you. And 2 days in a life, the day you were born and the day you realize why.
Yeah, profound.
Well, it is really, and I don't think Mark Twain was a
It is.
particularly religious
He
man.
wasn't,
I
was
think
he?
he in, I
No.
believe he was a bit hostile to Christianity, but there's something deep in that about what he said, I think.
Absolutely.
I think I had a conversation with a friend about Elon Musk and all that he has achieved, and you know, and people are impressed with all the different enterprise and projects that, you know, going to Mars and Tesla and all kind. But at what cost? At cost, with, you know, on a personal level, family, and it feels it links to what you say. I think Mark Twain, his question of, and the second is why, is more about, well, what are you going to achieve on this earth? You know, what impact? And if when you understand the impact that you can have, that's, you know, that's the most important thing. But you said the why is because I'm loved, and that's completely different.
Yes.
If I think of Abraham, what has he achieved?
Yes.
You know, in physical way, nothing. You know, there is no inventions. You know, we don't hear about Abraham because he invented a chariot and wow. But he has achieved more than Elon Musk. He was a friend of God. And he was declared as righteousness because he trusted the promise. And like you say, why are we here? Well, because we are wanted, loved, and we called to walk with God and learn. So, and whether the walking with God is just, you know, raising a family and having an impact on a local community, or whether it is to, you know, find an invention and or creating a cure because we have the skills of a doctor, that's secondary. That's a gift.
Yeah.
That's God's grace through us. Our first call, as you say, is to love God with all our hearts, our mind, our soul, and to love others as ourselves. There you go. Let's pray as we know those words to nourish our souls. If we think of that question, Lord Jesus, of why you came, why you? The answer is to express the love of the Father towards his creation. That was why you came, to give your life as ransom, to break the curse that we had brought through our rebellion, through our distrust, our belief that in our own ways and with our own wisdom, we can create a better world. And yet we've come to realize how messy we are when we turn away from you. Thank you that we are today your children. We are loved and called to become more and more like Christ, like your Son. Thank you, we're not alone, that it is in the presence and guidance and power of your Holy Spirit that our works, our service have eternal value.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.